Good morning. This morning's scripture will be from Ephesians 5, 14 through 17. If you'd like to follow along with one of the Bibles underneath the bench, that'll be on page 1041. Again, that is Ephesians 5, 14 through 17. The lesson's redeeming the time. And what this is about in the scriptures is talking about being able to walk in wisdom. Let us read. Therefore he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is.
Thank you, Eric. Good morning. I am really happy to be with you here on the last Sunday of 2014. Speaking of which, I want to go ahead and put a pitch in for this evening, because the sermon this evening that I'll be teaching is looking ahead. Okay, the time that's coming up, and I would appreciate your attendance if you're able to tonight. First of all, I want to greet everyone who's here. We have a number of visitors here. Now, Mark and Veronica Davis, they're kind of visitors because most of you don't know them, but some of them do. So we appreciate their coming in. One of the advantages that we've had over the years of being a college and Air Force community is that we get a lot of members of our family who rotate back in and out and come to visit at the holidays and so on. So we're pleased to have you with us. And if you are visiting with us, don't forget, we've got a fellowship meal after the services this morning. Now, before we get started in the sermon, we handed out this morning an outline sheet to go with the sermon. Now, is there anyone who did not get one of those outlines? It could be either yellow or white, depending on when the yellow paper Jeff put in the copier ran out. So if you didn't get one, Nathan will hand you one. Only one? Only one that we missed. Fantastic. Okay. You will find there are 10 fill-in-the-blanks on this. Oh, there's another one in the back there. Okay. Anybody else? I would hate for you to miss the quiz. Oh, not really a quiz, but you'll fill in the, there's an opportunity to fill in the blank on 10 of these. Let's go ahead and bring the first slide up there, Mike. Now, we're going to look tonight at this idea of, this morning, at this idea of redeeming the time. And those of you who know me know I often like to get into what the Greek words mean. And we're going to talk about two different Greek words that are translated time in English. But before I jump into a word study, Dee said she thought I ought to tell a story first. So I'll do that. I'm told of a young man who had gotten a new job. And the first 2 weeks, he was like late every day. And he was one of these guys that are just frazzled, always running from here to and fro and so on. And finally, about Thursday of the second week, he comes in about 17, 18 minutes late to a place where everybody gets to work at the same time, you know. And he comes in, the boss comes out of his office and hollers at him. He says, John, don't you know what time we start to work here? To which John said, well, I don't really know. They're already all working when I get here. Okay. Now, you know, we all have those kinds of problems and issues. And if you're like I am, the last couple of weeks, I've been running off a checklist he gave me of all the things I had to get done before the holidays, because we had Christmas lunch at my house. And so I think there were 24 things on my list after I'd worked about half of them off. So what I want us to do, though, is to look at this concept that we see from the Apostle Paul of redeeming time. He uses it in two different scriptures. We'll talk about the other one in a minute. First of all, I'm not sure if you can see this very well on the screen, but if you look at a number of translations for this phrase, redeeming the time, it kind of gives you a little bit better picture of what the Greek words mean here. The New King James Version that Eric read is redeeming the time because the days are evil. The NIV says making the most of every opportunity. The ESV, making the best use of the time. The NASB, making the most of your time. The ISV, making the best use of your time. And the last two I don't usually use because they're kind of peculiar, but at least it's useful to look at. The NET version, taking advantage of every opportunity, and the WNT, buy up your opportunities, for these are evil times. Now this kind of gives you an idea of this idea of time and opportunity. The word redeeming in the Greek here is from a business term. It's what a merchant would do if he found a good deal on supplies and he went out and bought them all up. It has to do with actually spending the resources you have for a high payoff. But there are a number of words in the Greek that are all translated the same word in English, time. And two of these are, I think, very important to us in understanding what this particular scripture means. And those two words are chronos and kairos. You don't have to remember those words, by the way. Chronos is a typical word we use in English for time. This is time like time on your watch, time on your calendar. It is used 55 times in the New Testament. Okay, this word chronos, it just refers to normal, ordinary, daily time where you keep track of appointments. There's a different word that's translated time in this particular phrase, redeeming the time, and that is this word kairos. Kairos is used 81 times in the New Testament. And these two words, comparing these two will be real helpful before we jump into how we can best apply the scripture in our lives. Now, the definition that you see here then is, this is what we typically think of as second minute time, calendar time, appointment time. 3:45 on Tuesday afternoon is chronos. Whereas kairos is could better be translated maybe opportunity, although, and you saw some of the versions that we looked at, it translated it opportunity. This is a passing instant when an opening appears which must be driven through with force if success is to be achieved. It is that perfect moment. You've had it. When you see something, you have an opportunity to take. And that's the word time. So really this word means redeeming the opportunity or the time in that manner. Now I want to take a quick break here and give you an example of chronos time, which is very American. Okay, this is my Evernote. Now, the folks in the family know I use Evernote to keep track of everything. It has my calendars, it has my checklist, it has my pictures. Everything is in Evernote. This, I just picked a Tuesday from a week before Christmas. And there's a whole bunch of stuff in there. A lot of it had to do with helping Dee get ready for a waffle breakfast at school. But this is the way I organize my day. I have everything on here, and I put a little X in the check mark on the computer. And I can find this from any of my devices, my BlackBerry, my iPad, or my computer at work, I mean at home. So this is just an example of chronos time. You know, time, minute, second, and so on. So let's get back to this comparison between chronos and kairos. Here's some scriptures that give you an example of chronos time, real time. And these are very, very familiar scriptures. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared, a particular day. And also in Matthew 25:19, in one of the parables, Jesus says, after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. Both of these very clear uses of the word time to mean a specific time. Now, kairos, time or opportunity, Romans 13:11, and do this knowing the time, that now it is high time to awaken out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. In 2 Corinthians 6:2, for he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and now is the day of, in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And so we see that these words would probably better, the second one here would probably be better translated opportunity. Another example, for instance, of this idea of the use of time is when mom says to Johnny, "Johnny, you're 27 years old. Isn't it time you got a job and moved out of the basement?" Okay? Time. That idea of an opportunity as opposed to clock or a watch. So, let's look at this idea of time or opportunity. We have our theme scripture from Ephesians. Time equals opportunity, okay, taking advantage of the time. This is the other scripture from Colossians chapter 4, verse 5, almost a parallel scripture written to a different group of Christians. Walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, meaning those who are not members of the church. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Paul is saying spending what you have to take advantage of the opportunities that come. This is an interesting word, opportunity. Long before there were dredged out harbors for ships to come into, merchant ships would often wait just outside a port for the right circumstance of high tide and a good wind. And then as soon as they got the right point in time, they would rush on into port. And they used to call this ob portu in Latin. It was the ob portu, or into the port. That's on your sheet, by the way. Into the port, which is the perfect mix of tide and wind conditions. Eventually, this word became opportunity. Now, here is an example of that concept from Shakespeare, Julius Caesar. This is Brutus discussing whether or not to go on the attack in Rome. "There is a tide in the affairs of men which, taken at the flood, leads on to fortune. Omitted, all of the rage of their life is bound in shallows and miseries. On such a full sea are we now afloat. We must take the current when it serves or lose our ventures." This is the concept of opportunity, to be taken or lost, depending on our willingness to do the right thing. This is from Julius Caesar, Act 4, Scene 3. Another example of the idea of opportunity is Thomas Edison. You've heard of him? He's seen the light? Yeah. Thomas Edison said, "Opportunity is missed by most people because it is dressed in overalls and looks like work." Okay. Opportunity, the chance that we have to do the things that we need to do. And so we must look for opportunities, and we must be willing to spend our time for the proper things. How can we do this in today's busy world? Your schedule's probably as jam-packed as mine. Well, we must commit ourselves to living on God's schedule. This is the secret for Christians, to live on God's schedule. And I've got seven things to share with you, seven real-life ways that we can get onto God's schedule and be ready to take care of opportunities. Living on God's schedule. The first one is to tell Him that you want to live on His schedule. We have an example of a prayer like this in the Psalms. Psalm 139, 23 and 24. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." And so this prayer for God to search us has to do with our giving up control to God. And this is a prayer from the 139th Psalm. We do the same thing in the song that we sing, "Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way, hold o'er my being absolute sway." So we need to tell God repeatedly that we are looking to live on His schedule. Number two, we need to plan our daily schedules carefully. Now, wait a minute, Don. Didn't you just say that we need to be looking for the opportunities and that the American way of planning every single minute was not good? Well, no, not really. It is important that we plan our days and plan our activities so that when we have an opportunity, we don't miss it. Okay? The best way to be able to take advantage of an opportunity is knowing what it's competing with and being able to make an assessment. Well, yeah, I cannot go to Kroger's at 10 o'clock this morning. I can wait and go later in the day. And if you have your schedule laid out, then you can apply the opportunities when they come up. Not only that, you can look at your schedule and see whether, in fact, your priorities are reflected there. Are you spending your time doing the things that are important to you? What things are important to you? God, faith, family, community, all those things need to be included in our schedule. So, first of the year, or even better, the end last week of December, hint, hint, plan for the year, what I need to accomplish next year. First day of every month, plan for the month. Beginning of the week, plan for the week. Night before, plan for the next day. I know our life got tremendously better the middle of this year when Dee made the decision to lay out her clothes for the next morning at night. She hangs them across the hall in the kids' room, and they're all laid out. So when she gets up in the morning, I don't have to hear this, "Oh no, there's my red sweater." That kind of planning has been very helpful in our day. So we need to plan our daily schedule carefully. The 90th Psalm, verses 10 and 12. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Very similar to redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Number three, we need to accept interruptions wisely. I mentioned this a moment ago. We can see this example from the life of Jesus. Mark chapter 7, verses 24 and 25. From there, Jesus arose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and he entered a house and wanted no one to know it, yet he could not be hidden. For a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet. And so he was able to weigh that interruption against his want to be alone. And in Mark chapter 6, verses 45 and 46, we read, Jesus immediately made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side of Bethsaida while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. And that's what he was doing. However, he was very quickly interrupted by a storm and by hordes of people wanting to be healed. Next, his disciples were caught in a storm, and he went out and reassured them. And then the whole country brought him their sick, and he took the time to heal them. Item number four, view your disappointments as God's appointments. Interesting approach. We read in James chapter 4, verse 15, that he was told by God, don't go this way, go that way. We also read from the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians, the end of the second chapter through the start of the third chapter, so that Satan may be the cause of our problems, but God will overrule him. So the assessment of whether a particular interruption or a particular disappointment is good or bad has to do with how well we're focused on seizing the opportunities that God sends our way. So if it's your disappointment, perhaps it's because God has another appointment for you to make. Number five, look for open doors. Paul had this used this as an illustration often. 1 Corinthians 16, 7 and 9, he says, for I do not wish to see you now on the way, but I hope to stay a while with you if the Lord permits. But I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. So the Apostle Paul really saw that the Lord frustrating him going where he wanted to go was in order to open another door for him to be effective. And in Acts chapter 17, now when Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw the city was given over to idols. Therefore he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentile worshipers, and in the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there. So as he was stuck in Athens, he looked and saw these idols and saw an open door to teach others about the Lord. Okay, we're in the home stretch. Item number six, do the small works gladly. Colossians 3:17-23, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Then down in verse 23, and whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not to men. We need to be willing to do the small things, the small opportunities that come before us, and take advantage of those times. Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. Again, the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 10:31, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. There are many small works, small opportunities that have a good, solid, long-term payoff in terms of doing what the Lord wants us to do. We need to look for those small works and not discount them because it's not, you know, not something big. Okay? Number 7, remember that God will manage what you cannot get done. Keep on doing the right things. We see that example even with Jesus. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And yet even Jesus didn't have an opportunity to get everything done that came to him. John said there were many, many other things that he did that we don't hear about, but God will manage those things that we cannot get done. And so, that's your lesson on redeeming the time. Let's pay attention to the opportunities that God gives us. Let's spend the time that he gives us in a way that will be effective for him. And let's look once again at a scripture that talks about the subject of time or opportunity. 2 Corinthians 6:2. We looked at this on our definition page. 2 Corinthians 6:4, he says, in an acceptable time, I have heard you, and in the day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. What's your status today? Are you a Christian? Have you heard the word and been baptized and become a Christian? If not, we can help you with that. If you are a Christian and you've drifted away and you need to get back on the right path, you need to pray to God for forgiveness and start doing the things and taking the opportunities he sends you. And if you like the prayers of the church on your behalf, we can do that as well. The tide is right. The winds are right. The harbor is open. This is your opportunity to come while we stand and sing.